Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Reece Carey rigs up her 200 in style.
Oh, Sam Kerr!
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Yes, and good morning. This is the Sports Desk on Sin 9.7 with Liam and Caleb. Good morning, Caleb.
Pleasure to be here, as always, Liam. What a show we've got planned. So much news.
Yes, but let's start off with a huge congratulations to the Richmond Football Club, who are going to win the next four premierships, according to Kevin Bartlett.
Yeah, it's good to see he hasn't jumped the gun yet. It's good to see that the lid hasn't fallen off.
They've won one flag in, 40 years, and now they want to win the next four. That is unbelievable. Put it in your diary. No point buying a membership for your club. They're not going to win unless you're Richmond. Let's all jump on the Richmond bandwagon.
Yep.
Richmond 5 Pete. Let's get it trending on Twitter.
Great.
Trending on Instagram. Trending on Facebook. Trending on MySpace. Let's get it on MySpace. Richmond 5 Pete. It's on.
For those that don't know, Kevin Bartlett famously came out during this week and said that Richmond going to win the next five premierships. Bold statement, and I think a lot of people were quick to shoot him down, but that's KB at his best, isn't it, Liam?
Oh, yes. But then let's start to the serious stuff now.
The serious stuff. Well, before we start the show, we should mention our text line, which has been running hot the last couple of days. But if you want to send us a text, any questions, any thoughts throughout the show, get your phones out now, punch in this number, because if you want to have your voice heard, it's 04475 19170. That again is 04475 19170.
What a beautiful number that is.
It is, isn't it? Just rolls off the tongue. Today's show, though, we're going to be talking AFL Women's, a little bit of JLT as well. Going to be talking about the soccer later on, and maybe even a little bit of Davis Cup tennis stuff at the end. But very exciting when we're talking about soccer. We're going to be getting an ex-host of Sports Desk in to give us a rundown on the whole Western Sydney Wanderers debacle that's going on there with their fans.
Lovely, yes. But let's kick things off straight away. And if this happens, the Doggies have an issue with premiership captains.
I know where you're going with this.
In 1954, Charlie Sutton was captain coach.
Mm-hmm.
When you came runners-up in 61, Ted Ridden was a captain coach.
Yep.
And Easterwood, your current captain, wasn't captain when you won in 2016. And with the Doggies with an easy run, they have GWS,
yep,
Melbourne, and Collingwood in their run home. Ali Blackburn.
Ali Blackburn will be the Eastern Wood of the team.
Yes.
I like the way you're going with this because it's inherently suggesting that the Western Bulldogs are going to win the premiership. So thank you for admitting that we're probably going to beat Freo and win the flag. But no, I like it. I like the analogy. Katie Brennan to be the 2018 version of Bob Murphy. It's exciting, isn't it? For me, it's exciting.
Oh, premiership is always exciting.
But obviously, there is the caveat that Katie Brennan, as I am optimistic that she will come back and hopefully return from her injury and help us in that grand final match and maybe even play in those last couple of games.
Well, yes, but also there's another big game, and I think I over-dramatic early saying the loser won't make the grand final, but the game between Melbourne and Brisbane this week at Casey's Field, can't be known how massive it is. The Demons have lost two in a row.
Yep.
Brisbane has lost one proper season match in their entire history.
Yeah.
But, like I said, with the Dogs having an easy run, this game could be massive in terms of the grand final.
Yeah, and I think with Brisbane, they haven't really put that many points. I know that on the weekend it was very wet, but would love to see Brisbane play a bit more of an attacking brand. And if they do end up in that grand final against the Western Bulldogs, it'll be two completely different sides. Western Bulldogs are high scorers, as we saw on the weekend, and Brisbane not as high scorers. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this week, whether they try to find more avenues through goal instead of just Frederick Traub. I'm not quite sure.
She hasn't kicked a goal this year at all.
There you go.
So,
I didn't even realise.
Worcester, who's kicked, she's second now in the goal kicking.
Yeah, of course.
Second in actually all of our votes, we'll get to later.
Okay.
Another one you can't deny as well is Fremantle, of course, who played GWS this Saturday at Fremantle Oval. If they can get over GWS,
Yeah, you're right.
Adelaide and then Carlton in their run home. So talk about,
my gosh,
in terms of teams below them, if they can get those three, they're also in grand final contention.
Yeah.
It's weird to say Freo's in grand final contention. Not really a Fremantle thing there. Maybe because I don't have Hawthorn to, you know, stop us making success.
Fair enough. But it does raise the question. One team we haven't touched on yet is Carlton.
They were dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And I mean, Ben spoke about it on Monday, but more in depth today.
Well, what is going wrong with the Blue Baggers and Carlton? Is it just that Darcy Vecchio hasn't kicked a goal this year? Or is it, you know, injuries?
Losing your captain's never good.
Yes.
It could turn into premiership success, as you know.
Mm-hmm, true.
But that's few and far between. There's only been a couple of premiership teams that have a vice captain as a premiership captain.
Yeah.
And it's just very hard to look at. And I said this on Monday, when Taylor Harris came to Carlton, we've asked them, like, well, they're going to have a dominant four line.
Yeah.
They're the worst going team in the AFRW at the moment.
It shows with Darcy Vecchio having not kicked a much. She might have kicked a goal. Two. She's kicked two now.
But mostly points. I think she's kicked like 2.5 goals this year.
So it's almost as if the competition's woken up to that. Last year she was obviously so dominant, and now they're really, really holding her, and it's exposed Carlton, and then that shows that they haven't really got another avenue for goal. Taylor Harris was out last week through suspension, so she will be welcome back this week. They're playing Adelaide this week. Very interesting. Adelaide's sitting 7th at the moment. Carlton 5th.
Yes, after their draw with GWS.
Yeah, which was a fantastic game. Did you get to see...
I watched the last minute because I was on my way to do my in-joke show.
Mm-hmm. So I watched the last half, and it was intense. It was low scoring, but it made every point more... it had greater weight.
And we had AFL, an Australian football record broken, not just AFLW, with Ebony Marinoff, 21 tackles.
21? I thought she got to 19, but it was perfect conditions for Marinoff. And I didn't put her in my votes, but she was incredibly stiff to miss out.
Oh, I think she didn't get in my votes because she tackled, but didn't get much of the ball.
Correct. I might read off my votes.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get her into our votes. Why not?
Why not? Well, like... My three votes is no surprise. It's Brooke Lachlan for her 7 goals. It's probably, if not the best performance of the round, it might be the best performance we've seen in AFL Women's since its creation. I think 7 goals is unheard of. And particularly when you consider the circumstances of the Western Bulldogs, without Katie Brennan and without Isabella Huntington, the chips were down. The question was thrown out there, who's going to kick the goals for the Dogs? And cometh the moment, cometh the woman in Lachlan. And she really rose up.
And she was lucky and unlucky. She got a goal that they said was a point.
Yeah.
And then she got a goal that was definitely touched by Toogood.
Yeah, and she looks at the goal umpire to just make sure it's a goal.
That was blatantly touched.
Yeah, very, very funny.
But she's also my favourite. You can't go past that.
Mm.
Not just the fact that she got 7 goals. I think she had 17 touches.
Yep.
Like, she got a lot of the ball as well.
Yeah.
And also kicked a 3 points. She outscored Carlton by an absolute mile. My second one is same as yours.
Yep.
Same as Michael's spoilers for Friday.
Oh, okay.
Jess Worcester.
Interesting. I changed mine, but please.
Changed yours.
Sorry, late night changes, but... Ooh. You know how much we deliberate over these votes and how much weight they carry, you know?
Oh, I've added it to the overall tally.
Okay.
Controversy here. I had Worcester. I thought she was fantastic.
Oh, I did as well. That's why I put her in my original draft.
She was a match winner against Fremantle.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm interested to see who's your second vote.
Well, my second vote went to Steph Chiocci. I think in terms of context, again, Collingwood having not won a game, they were travelling over to Darwin. They played... Melbourne, and as the captain, she really rose up. She had 17 disposals, 4 tackles and a goal, but more in terms of her leadership. The goal was a phenomenal goal as well in terms of where the game was at. So, yeah, Steph Chiocci got my two votes, and she's been playing a pretty good season as well. I think she's just been, unfortunately, hasn't had the cattle around her.
I do agree, and as well as doing the votes, I go all out and I do my personal three votes of every round.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did give Chiocci... I gave her the 3 against Adelaide, against Melbourne.
Okay.
So, but she was stiff to not make my votes.
Yeah. Well, the other player was Mo Hope, which was... she was good to see her firing it. Yeah. Did she make it into your round votes?
Nah, she was a goal away.
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought she was good, but she just wasn't kicking them.
Mm. Seems like she's getting back to her form, which is good to see.
Oh yeah.
Who was your one? Who rounded out the votes with the last one?
Emma Carney.
Yeah.
Like, she's an absolute ball magnet. I feel like she might be the Daisy Pierce of last year.
Yep. She had, what, like 25 disposals or
yeah,
something like that?
Kicked a goal.
Yep.
With Daisy Pierce last year, I think everyone predicted her to win the AFL
MVP.
Best and fairest. And she was nowhere in the votes. Well, I think the same thing's going to happen to Emma Carney.
Yep.
But I think she did deserve one vote. I think she was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she didn't make the... Just, I don't think she'll perform well on the Brownlow night. What about yours?
For me, my one vote went to Alicia Eva from GWS.
Oh, great call.
23 touches, 8 tackles, and, yeah, just an outstanding performance in what was a really close draw. And as I said earlier, it was a toss-up between her and Eb Marinoff, but I just think Alicia Eva was a bit cleaner. Yes, Marinoff got a few touches, but the conditions really suited her. So, yeah, 3 votes went to... Lachlan, 2 to Chiocci, and 1 to Alicia Eva.
Do you know who I think was stiff, did not get voted in any of ours? Was Amanda Fruger.
Yeah,
the fridge. Her performance in the last quarter alone.
Outstanding, wasn't it?
Oh, she saved the game for the Giants.
Yeah.
Captain game, captain performance, pretty much what you want. So,
just one thing on Alicia Eva. How much would Collingwood be absolutely putting their hands out to have her back at their club at this time of the year?
Oh, she's been. They would love to have her back.
Probably their best player, probably GWS's best player. And yeah, they unfortunately let her slip last year.
Yeah. Well, let's go after. I just have to do some quick change to the votes. Let's get to them now.
If you can hear in the background, just the keypad going like that.
Yes. Brooke Lachlan is sitting top of the table now with 9
wow.
votes, followed behind by Dana Hooker and Aaron Phillips, both on 8.
Mm-hmm.
Ali Blackburn is on 5 votes.
Yep.
Then you got Katie Brennan, Jess Woodchester,
mm-hmm.
Sabrina Fetichulor, Sarah Hosky, and Karen Paxman all on 4 votes. So it shows how quickly play can rise to the top.
Did we get it wrong? If we got it wrong, send us through a text. Send us who you thought was stiff to miss out maybe in the votes.
I'm going to give you a surprising thing as well, because yep. Like I said, I've done every round my top 3 votes,
mm-hmm.
and I want to see you on Brownlow night or Best and Fairest night to see where I am. Carney's actually leading.
Yeah, right.
Because I think I've given her a vote every round so far, but she's just not been able to crack my top 3.
She has been an incredibly consistent performer this year for yes. the Western Bulldogs.
And let's start things off with a sad note here.
Oh,
with the okay. Western Bulldog mascot.
Oh, no.
Sid the dog has passed away today.
You'll be seeing a lot of Western Bulldogs fans taking the day off work. I don't know. I think they'll probably get a state funeral for him, but
it'll be mass mourning. Mass
yeah,
mourning.
Exactly. It's a sad day for Western Bulldogs fans out there. Which, yeah, Sid the mascot
had
was
more,
iconic.
Had more influence in the premiership than Bob Murphy.
I'm just going to leave the studio. sorry about that.
But let's kick things off straight away now with the JLT series, everyone's favourite series. Who
yes.
on Monday got a text in saying it's better than the NAB Cup.
Well, I heard a very good, here's a little joke for you, JLT, just like training, that's how serious some teams take it. Thanks very much,
nothing,
I'm here all day.
I know I've just taken the piss out of the Bulldogs just before, but I'm going to take the piss out of them again.
Far away.
I love long walks on the beach, you know, a nice movie, and taking the piss out of the Bulldogs, kind of my daily routine.
Exactly.
But nothing's as bad as how you took the AFL X on the last weekend.
Yeah, that was something else. That was hilarious. We probably couldn't have tried less. Like, we couldn't have fielded a weaker team. If there was a competition for losing, that's what we were going for.
I feel like if you tried less, you would have won the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that?
It would have just been like a full circle there.
Interesting. So, the game tonight is Carlton versus St Kilda. It's going to be awesome. We don't usually preview games, but seeing it's the midweek, we're going to go into...
Yeah, the 2 games before Friday.
Yeah, so first one is Carlton versus St Kilda. It's going to be a really interesting game because there are a few youngsters that are playing. So we've got Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield, who were pick 7 and pick 8 for St Kilda in the most recent year's draft. Obviously, that pick came from Hawthorn.
Yep.
Which is really, really interesting. I think Hunter Clark is a midfielder. Nick Caulfield will be a rebounding halfbacker. But then for Carlton have Paddy Dow, pick number 3, who was very impressive in AFLX.
Paddy Dow's fantastic. The fact he wanted to go to North Melbourne more than I've ever seen anyone want to go to a club.
Why not Melbourne?
he's a North Melbourne supporter.
Ah, there you go.
But every interview was like, yeah, I would love to play for North Melbourne. You know, yeah, as a North Melbourne supporter, I wouldn't love to go there.
Too good.
And everyone knows he's going to get picked up by Carlton. It's kind of, you know, a thing. Everyone knew Cam Rayner's going number one, Paddy Dow's going number three.
Right.
And he went number three. Carlton now, probably a much better club than North Melbourne. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I don't know. I think it was interesting comments coming from Stephen Trigg the other week about how, I think he said, don't judge us on how many wins we get this year, which is always what you want to hear as a AFL fan just before the season starts. But then North Melbourne as well. Who knows what's happening there.
But I'm interested to see how Liam Jones goes in the back line.
Yeah.
I thought, you know,
stellar season last year.
Yeah, his resurgence as a backman was fantastic.
It really was a good, like a heartwarming story last year, because I saw him when he was at the Western Bulldogs a lot, and he was just completely luckless, couldn't find that consistency, and then went into the back line, and I was actually kind of, I was pretty happy for him, even as a Western Bulldogs fan. There was no salt.
He wasn't really a big loss. I know what you're talking about. You lost Murphy, you lost Higgins.
Yeah.
Not Murphy, you lost Griffin.
Griffin, that was the one.
And you lost Higgins. I think you lost someone else.
Cooney went to Essendon that year. So,
and, but yeah, it
was Liam Pickham was Liam Pickham. Liam Jones was probably the least of our worries that year. And I think the pick we got in return ended up being Caleb Daniels. So initially we were like, this is great. We've just hit offloaded Liam Jones, and we picked up Caleb Daniel. But probably a win-win for both clubs. I think he's ripping it up for Carlton.
Pretty much, yeah. And I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And reading the looking online today, well, I don't think St Kilda got the memo, though, but they said they had a chance to win the flag this year.
Whoa, okay.
But as we know, Richmond got it down.
True. You
know, the four-peat, well, the
that's it.
Next four.
They must have missed that. So I don't know why any team, like, they should all just start playing juniors and start thinking about 2022.
You got your minor leagues, VFL, WRFL, you got AFLX, you got the women's. Aim for them.
Yeah, everyone just start rebuilding. Yep. Because about earlier, Richmond, Kevin Bartlett has come out and said Richmond will win the next four premierships. So,
and I can't wait till we look back on this show in, 4 years' time and be like, wow,
predicted
we were wrong.
Okay, we were wrong.
They won their four flags.
Yeah. Two other players that are going to be really interesting to watch tonight in the JLT will be David Armitage, who is coming back for St Kilda. Only played two games last year, but I think he might be one of the best recruits, almost, because he hasn't played all of last year.
Yeah.
Which will boost St Kilda significantly. And another one is Paddy McCartan, who missed however many games through concussion last year.
A lot of rap about him. They think this is going to be his big season, which I find kind of hard to believe. I'm judging on the last few tall forwards being picked number one. You've got...
Correct.
Jonathan Panage is now finally starting to become that key forward.
Yeah.
Tom Boyd, who's played one good game in his entire career.
Jeez.
Luckily enough, he was the grand final.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he's really struggled for form.
Earned his money.
Well, yeah, you win a flag. So.
Exactly. Buddy Franklin still hasn't won Sydney a flag, so yeah. I'd take Boyd every day of the week.
And you got now Paddy McCartan, who I think was a year after Tom Boyd. So I feel like he's a year behind Tom Boyd in development.
Yeah, but I still think he, I don't know, I really hope that he can have a real crack at it, because he has been hampered by these concussions. Mm.
I had to go to Angus Brayshaw room and wear a mask. Not a mask, a helmet.
A helmet, yeah.
Which will be okay. And
other news in the AFL / JLT?
Well, we've got the next game as well on Thursday, which is GWS versus Collingwood. GWS is bringing in a strong lineup where Collingwood is not.
Yeah, interesting to see Ryan Griffin is making a return. Hasn't played since
round three last year.
So that'll be really interesting. Collingwood fielding a pretty... undermanned side. I don't know if
they've got a lot of injuries. Trelaw, Wiles. Yeah. They've got Degoe suspended.
Right.
Darcy Moore injured.
Yep.
So, Buckley's probably second most important. Not a good start.
It's a very interesting. I don't know if you saw yesterday Adam Trelaw in a press conference saying that, I think it was a reporter asked him, what are you going to do differently this year? And his response was, we're going to do the exact same thing. Like, last year we weren't even that bad. I think he cited that whenever we played some of the top teams, we'd only ever lose by under 30 points. He said, we're going to be fine. We're not changing too much. We're going to stick to our structures, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I think that's bloody stupid.
Didn't sell too much hope to Collingwood fans, I think. Like, if you look at last year, they would have finished
12th.
12th, there you go. So, yeah, I don't think Adam Treloar got the media message from Eddie Maguire on that
one. If you don't make the finals, you have to change something to make the finals.
Correct.
Like, again, Richmond didn't play the way they played in 2017 the same way they played in 2016.
Mm. Be interesting to see. Scotty Pendlebury will be playing for Collingwood, so he'll be shouldering a lot of the experience on that team. But obviously without Adam Treloar, Jamie Elliott, Jeremy Howe, Daniel Wells, Darcy Moore. It'll be interesting.
And good to see Lyndon Dunn back. Lyndon Dunn had a delayed season. I think he just wasn't picked.
Yep.
Also, the main man, Chris Mayne's, finally get in.
Yep. 4 million or whatever the.
Yeah, that's money well spent.
Money well spent for AFL player. Yeah.
Also, Robbie Gray challenged his.
Oh, this is really interesting, wasn't it? Yes. The first tribunal hearing that was under the new Michael Christensen led AFL tribunal. Yeah. Sorry, but really, really interesting. I don't know why they challenged it. I get that he. It could have been seen that he was like he had no other choice, but $10,000 is a lot of money.
It looked spot on, though. I think the call. I don't know what Charlie Dixon was talking about, saying players don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I understand. I don't know if you remember Jack Viney's 2 week suspension for bumping Tom Lynch. And they were both gone for the ball, and it was just unlucky that he clipped his jaw and broke his jaw. I understand then players saying, because there's a lot of uproar, and they, I think Melbourne even took it to court.
So
they lost their appeal. Then they took it to court.
Yep.
And they end up winning.
I don't know. Look,
I contrast
these kind of incidents with, there was a new a report in The Age yesterday of Nicky Winmar, and he's going to join the class action against the AFL for concussion related injuries post AFL season. And he's saying that he's suffering a lot of things. And I think, while yes, it's hard to avoid these kind of head collisions, but the AFL has to do something about it, because all these players are coming back and saying, we're putting down our keys on our table and we're forgetting where they are 10 seconds later. So I think the AFL's done the right thing, or is doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think it's a spot on call. I think Charlie Dixon is talking about nothing, really.
Yep, I agree. Yeah,
maybe you should focus on trying to win games, close games against top 8 sides, and sort of complaining about a player rightfully getting suspended. The biggest issue in AFL, and this is going to be the biggest issue until forever.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Cooney came out yesterday saying if Tasmanian wants a team, they should show up to games.
Right, yeah.
But Victorians have 10 teams, and yet no one shows up to North Melbourne versus Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's not really a blockbuster match. They're not blockbuster teams. And why should Tasmania give a stuff about football when North Melbourne's come out that day saying they don't plan to play more games in Tassie?
Mm-hmm.
Hawthorn, Jeff Kennett said they don't plan to play more games in Tassie. What, AFL just did AFLX, which was a marketing failure.
Yeah.
Why two teams die.
Bernie and Devonport.
Would you want to go to games? Knowing that there's no. You know, you're not going to get a team out of it.
If they put a team in there, that's the solution. I don't think, as a Tasmanian fan, while yes, it's great to go to the footy, you don't want to just be like the little brother of the AFL. You don't want to be like, oh, we'll take whatever you give us. We'll take Kangaroos. We'll take.
I'm going to say Hawthorn. Something that's a bit too risque for Sport Desk, but the AFL are totally giving him blue balls when it comes to a team.
Okay. Yep, fair enough.
They are, absolutely. They are.
Yep, they're just.
Ever since the 90s, it was like, oh, you're next in line for a team. You know, you're next.
And how insulting that the AFL give licenses to the Gold Coast and GWS and say that Tasmania is not financially viable. And then only to turn around earlier this year and find out that $25 million has been funneled into Gold Coast to help prop them up by the AFL. So
I just don't, why should Tasmania give us stuff? And Gil McLaughlin said he has a solution, but we're yet to see the solution.
Yes.
And if the solution is playing more games between Hawthorn and North Melbourne in Tasmania, that's not the solution. That's
correct.
Contributing to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They want a team. They don't want a handout team anymore. They don't want a Hawthorn. Like, I expect both games now to be not as high as they would.
Yep.
Even, like I said, even Hawthorn, who's been in Tasmania for years, they've well known now that Hawthorn's not going to relocate, and Hawthorn shouldn't relocate. They're such a big team now in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
North Melbourne should relocate, but Tasmanians don't want them to relocate. They don't want North Melbourne.
They want Tasmanians.
They want a Tasmanian team. They want a Tassie team that plays half their games in Burnie. Yeah. Burnie, half their games in Launceston.
And Hobart.
Half their games in Hobart. They don't want a handout team, and it's just. Like, I've been to footy in Tasmania. I've I've gone to Tasmania numerous times. Great place. I do get the issue. I think their biggest issue isn't money. I think it's how to want an 18-year-old to stay there in his entire career.
True.
Which, I don't know. Have you ever been to Tasmania?
Yeah, I did the Overland Track last year. It was good fun.
I look at Tasmania. It's a good place, but it's just not a place you think an 18-year-old would want to spend his entire career.
Yeah.
And I always think that's the same issue with Canberra and Northern Territory.
Correct.
So I just, it does my absolute head in.
Yep.
The lack of respect they give Tasmania.
Before we go into a song, after the song, actually, we're going to be talking to James from Sports Desk last year, a bit about soccer. But just quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on, we were talking about Port Adelaide's Robbie Gray, but their recruitment strategy this year, they didn't have too much luck on the weekend.
Yeah, no one got over 9 touches.
So their recruits, Motlop, Watts, Thomas and Trengrove. Motlop is potentially injured, done a calf injury.
Scans, yep.
Only had 8 disposals. Jack Watts had 9 disposals. He was the captain, but only 9 disposals, but kicked a goal. Lindsay Thomas only had the 4 disposals, and Jack Trengrove had 11 disposals. Did they get their recruiting strategy wrong?
It's hard to say on a JLT game.
Correct, yeah.
Like, if Port Adelaide are going for a premiership this year, so if they finish outside the top 8, it's a fail.
Correct.
If they don't win a final, it's a fail.
I was very critical of their recruitment strategy. It reminded me of a Collingwood 2 or 3 years ago,
thinking Brisbane back when they got
Fev, yeah. It just feels like they've watched the latest Jim Carrey Yes Man movie and have just said yes to every single player that's come through the doors or put their hand up. Lindsay Thomas, I'm not sure what he offers for the team. Same with Jack Trengove.
Jack Trengove is a former captain, believe it or not. I know that's hard to...
So is Jack Grimes at the same time.
Yeah, that's
so
what I mean. I think, mate, he's still a number 2 draft pick. I know Silver Scott Gumbledon and he's a guess who.
Exactly.
But it's a tough one. Oh, like I said, it's too hard to tell. JRT is, I think, the worst when it comes to judging like anything.
Yep.
But I think we have to wait till the season starts.
You're on Sports Desk with Liam and Caleb, and joining us on the phone right now is James from Sports Desk last season. James, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We are talking soccer, which is a bit of your area of expertise.
It is.
We saw it. Well, you sent us an article last night that pricked our ears up a little bit, and it was a little bit about the Western Sydney Wanderers' decision to ban the RBB for their next game against Perth Glory. Do you want to just give us a quick summary about that?
Yeah, for sure. So it was the Sydney Derby on last Saturday night, and the Western Sydney Wanderers scored a goal, and the RBB ripped 2 flares in their active support group, and it's got a bit of controversy because flares were allowed in. Well, they weren't shunned upon 2 seasons ago, and they had a massive crackdown on it, and the Wanderers sent an email to all the members of the club saying after what happened last week, they're going to shut down all active support. Which is 3 bays from the middle of the goals, behind the goals.
Which is crazy because I've seen pictures of the Western Sydney Wanderers fans behind the goals, and they obviously if not the most passionate fans in the sport, if not Australia.
The most well-known A-League active support group in the world, I reckon. Like, if you look up RBB, just the 3 letters, it'll they'll come up. Derby chants, there'll be... they've got everything. They've got trumpets, they've got drums. Like, their fans are the most diehard supporters, even though they've only been in the league, not as long as Sydney FC.
Yeah.
They've got, a big fan base. A bit crazy. People on the Calfex Australian Football Fans, which is, a big Facebook group of all soccer fans in Australia, everyone's just going absolutely mental, saying, are you kidding me? Why is this happening?
Well, do you think that it's Western Sydney Wanderers directly saying to their fans, don't do it, or do you think it might be the FFA twisting Western Sydney Wanderers' arms a bit?
FFA
and saying...
100% yanking their arms.
Yeah. And
like, I've seen, I've been watching the A-League for ages, and I've seen the FFA sort of, grab the hold of each club's necks, slowly each season. And, like, the Wanderers are a very family club, and, these things happen. They're not... The security checks at the gates aren't strict enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, blame Allianz Stadium on this one because, you know, they're waving the wands around. They should do body checks or whatever that they have to do because, you know, it's, if they say, oh, they should be shunned upon or they should be, you know, checked for flares, you know, because obviously there's going to be people who stand out of the crowd who, you know, are suspects.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not doing anything about it and these things happen.
100%. If you watch any international game, yeah, that's what happens. There's flares, there's... It's an exciting atmosphere for soccer
fans. It's very minor, though, and Australia's very minor compared to the rest of the world. I think the only two clubs that have ever been in trouble is Victory and, the Wanderers.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's assisted by the Australian media. They seem to like to jump on the idea that soccer is an unfriendly and unfamily...
100%.
Yeah, Fox Sports and Herald Sun will... often blast on the front page of the paper pictures of these firms thinking that it's Green Street hooligans.
Bunch of ferals, yeah.
Yeah, which is a shame because I think...
maybe it's because the sport that Australia's just not... It's not our main sport. That's why we absolutely shun it. It's not...
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you see, I'm in the active support at Melbourne City and, I play my trumpet in the active area and we've got little kids waving the flags. On Derby Day, you know, we meet up at the pubs, have a drink before the game, and we get, and there's this one little kid every week that we get on our shoulders, and he gets the megaphone and he starts chanting to everyone. And that's the stuff that the media don't show, you know what I mean? Because, you know, kids are the future of the football.
Yeah.
And if you don't get them into it, you know, like these, you know, flares and that sort of stuff, I'm not for or against anything, but like, you know, these things happen and, you know, if, these things happen. You have to get used to them, if you know what I mean. Like it's not going to stop.
I've got a bit of not an example, but something completely opposite to soccer. Like I used to be a member of the Fremantle Football Club here in Victoria. I think I left in 2010 because the support, the cheer squad there was just feral.
Oh right.
Insulting our own players, insulting other teams, absolutely sucks. And I've been to Victory games and. Nothing but lovely. I've been to the Storm games, nothing but lovely. But the team I support passionately the most, I avoid becoming a member again because I just did not like the way they support things. So I kind of agree where he's coming from.
There you go.
Soccer's treated like hooligans.
Exactly. Because we're not. We're just diehard passionate supporters. You know, we wake up at all hours of the morning to watch our European clubs play. And we're just taken as hooligans, yet we do stuff peacefully, we don't cause any trouble, you know, the cops are nice to us, we're nice to them, got a good relationship with them. Like, did you see the cop who got the Barmy Army shirt at the, on the Boxing Day?
Yeah.
Well, he's one of our well-known police officers who comes to every game.
Ah, what a guy.
You know, so with these sort of relationships and that sort of stuff, it's like, and it's all shunned upon, which is, it's really disappointing.
I'm going to, without changing the subject too much, I don't know if you saw in the news just recently, they've announced that Qatar, obviously not just recently, but they've been talking about it since Qatar got the World Cup, but there's resurfaced calls for Qatar to be stripped of hosting the 2022 World Cup. They're saying that England and maybe the USA are in contention of hosting it. Do we, as Australian soccer fans, do we hold any hope that it might return to Australia?
They've said no hope. I've looked at the article. They said that we've got no hope.
Is there a shimmer of hope?
Hope's...
Yeah, look, if I'm going to be completely honest, I wouldn't want it here.
You wouldn't? Okay.
At this very moment, maybe give it 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because the state that our league's in at the moment, we're not fit for anything.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're in dire straits, just the whole country. And, you know, to see it in England or something like that, that'd be good at it because... You know, we've got Manchester City Stadium, we've got the Emirates Stadium, we've got Old Trafford, like all these stadiums that are so well known. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be honest, Qatar, you know, it's in the middle of in the desert. Like, you know, there's not going to be as many fans. Like, as we saw at the Olympics, in the Winter Olympics this year, the turnout wasn't great. But, you know, if it sticks, I'm still going to get up at it. I'm still going to watch it. Still going to support Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Our last question before we let you go. You said you were a big Melbourne City fan. Who is your tip for this Friday night in the derby against Victory?
Oh, 100% City. 100% City. We've got Bruno Fornaroli hopefully starting, coming back off an ankle injury. He was on the bench last week against Perth, but he's been training up and he's been practicing and doing everything he can to make well for the derby, because Daniel Adzani was a young 18-year-old centre attacking midfielder, was in the media yesterday talking about the derby, and he's like, this is what we play for.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been counting, like all my mates, we've been saying, oh, it's only 2 weeks to the derby, and then we're saying, no, it's only 2 days to the derby. You know, like, these home derbies are what us fans live for.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing greater than just going hard at it against Victory supporters.
Yeah.
we've got one more question. It's been reported the last few weeks about the expansion. They want two teams, I think, next season, two more teams a year after, then plus a relegation system. Who do you pick? Or do you think there should be an expansion? If so, who do you think?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because our league, as a fan, it's getting very stale. I'm sick of playing Wellington Phoenix four times a year.
Yeah.
You know, two of them playing at 5:30 p.m. when, you know, not prime time. And I think, you know, maybe a relegation system with the NPL would be good. But, you know, I'd really like to see maybe South Melbourne FC come into the A-League, because, you know, they're a giant. They've got massive support behind them. And then Tasmanian Football Corporation were released a statement also. So fingers crossed they might be able to get a team going, because I'd quite like to do some Tasmanian away days.
That would be pretty awesome.
What about Canberra, since they've already got the women's team?
Yeah, look, I would be 100% up for Canberra. I just think, you know, we need something different than, you know, just another state. Like, they were talking about Wollongong, maybe, you know, like all these different towns.
Enough of New South Wales, and, well, maybe an extra Victorian team, but enough of New South Wales.
they get enough.
Although they've tried Brisbane, I know Queensland failed twice. Maybe try a WA team or even a South Australia team.
Yeah.
There's
so many teams to go for. Like, you know, we had Gold Coast United, who's now just Gold Coast. I mean, there's some numerical name to them, but, you know, there's so many teams that could go up for it. But, you know, it's going to be exciting in the next 3 or 4 years.
We are doing a
rapid wrap-up.
So, like, probably 5 seconds before air, I was like, I'm going to call this the rapid wrap-up. And, you know what?
It's a thing.
It's a thing now. So, the way we're going to do it, just going to reel off some headlines, because we are quickly running out of time. But I'll start with the first one. We've got the first test starting overnight tonight, I think, or it might be even tomorrow. But will be very interesting to see. And then the headline there is that it could be potentially AB de Villiers' last time that he plays against Australia.
Yes, and now the NBL with Hawthorn, Essendon and female AFL teams vying for an NBL team in the future, coming off the success of GWS Collingwood and Sunshine Coast/Melbourne Storm success in the women's in the netball last year.
I've got one for you. So Davis Cup, they're talking about changing the whole format of that to make it a bit more of like a World Cup. So it's happened in the one location. And then it's, so currently they play it across like 4 weekends, and then they want to do this one just on the one day and with 16 teams.
Brian Cotton has been named the 2017/18 MVP for the Perth Wildcats in the NBL. Lastly, good news for Victorian fans, because I know you guys have been struggling with the AFL of late. I know AFL hasn't given you enough handouts.
I mean, we've only won the last two flags, so I wouldn't mind. You know, it would have been better
ever
if we won the last.
2012.
We've won the last. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'll take that back.
You've won interstate, and interstate clubs won one since 2007.
There you go.
but they want to change for agency now to 8 years unrestricted, so players like Rory Stone can leave and LA can get Dilly Squat, pretty much what they got for Dangerfield. pretty much what they got for Lever, pretty much what they got for Cameron. So good news for you. You know, finally, some good news for Victorian teams.
Victorians a leg up.
I know the AFL are very biased against Victorians.
Yeah.
Don't give them much handouts. They're very, very fair. But yeah, so good news for Victorians here.
Fantastic. And that pretty much wraps up our show for today. If you want to catch up on anything that you may have missed, you can find us on all your podcasting apps. Just search Sports Desk, and we're obviously the Wednesday show. But hey, if you want to listen to Monday and Friday, feel free to. And obviously, this Friday will be a massive show with Neve and Michael.
They are fantastic.
They'll be, previewing everything happening this week.
Brilliant, those two.
Awesome. We're going to leave you with a song. Make sure, as I said, tune in next week or this Friday for Sports Desk. Cheers.